Welcome one, welcome all, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 53, step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to your store called The Portal, located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. You can check us out on Facebook, The Portal, or you can find us on Twitter, at Portal Gaming 60. We are also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Hello, everybody. I am your host, The Brant.
And I am your co-host, Brian.
And we are live in Brian's kitchen with some cooking in the background from Rachel. Say hi, Rachel.
Hello.
All right. Here we go. So, little late night episode. I'm kind of on the cusp of my last day of teaching. So
we'll talk at 2x speed.
Kind of have my regular, have you listened to my solo episodes?
Where are you going?
It's like 7x speed. Yeah. I have to go back and listen when I'm on my own. So there's that. Brian, we just came off something interesting, though. We just did an escape room in my attic.
Yeah, that was really fun. I wasn't sure what to expect, but I know you guys have been, I guess not as much you, but that have been getting put together by your wife and Carly specifically, you know, and like just everyone was kind of running through it beforehand, and it was kind of a nice surprise to get to run through that.
Yeah. It was fun. It was interesting. It was weird. It was a surprise to me. So we were sitting playing another game, and then suddenly I had to disappear upstairs, and I was kind of thrown for a loop, and I didn't know that everybody was in on it. So I was nervous that people didn't want to do it, and I was like, oh, this is weird. But they had it all worked out, so I struggled a little bit with that. But it was good. So that was fun. Yeah. So thank you.
It was a little warm that day,
but it was
good. That gave us incentive to get out of the room.
That's right. Yeah, we wanted to get out. Hours and hours later. So I guess we did it, and I guess we didn't do it. It was tough because they didn't have an exact time frame, but there was a lot of puzzles. So there's a lot of things to solve, and so they had put it at like an hour 20, and they're like, no, an hour 30 probably makes sense. And they're like, well, you did it in an hour 40 or 2 hours, whatever. It was fine. So I mean, yeah, there's that time pressure that could make it fun, but it was also fun to just solve all the puzzles. So cool. There's that. This episode is titled You Must Unlearn What You Have Learned, because we are going to talk about BGG 25-1. Brian, you had no say on this topic, because this is what I did on the last episode, and I only got through 26, and I exhausted myself, so I was like, we're going to do this on the next episode.
You got exhausted talking about games?
I did. I talked so fast.
Did you go to so into detail? I didn't listen yet, but did you go into detail with each one?
I did. Okay. So, what the one thing I had to explain to people was, like, I love games. Like, 90% of games or whatever, I like.
Right.
So, when I was like, oh, yeah, it's a great game, like, it sounds kind of like a middling, like, whatever, you know? So, I tried to find the, like, what's the key thing about each game.
Okay.
You know, like, what's different or unique about this game, why it's probably rated up there, or what would people like that. So, to me, like, Keyflower is a cool game, but there's people who's like, it's one of their top games. I don't know if it's a top game for me, but I explained to everybody, well, it's totally fun, and this what's neat. It's got a unique auction mechanism, and you've got the different color meeples, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's what's unique. So it's definitely, like, a unique approach to the whole, you know, worker placement meeple auction thing. Yeah. Like, that's totally unique. I haven't really seen that anywhere, except Key to the City London, I guess, which re-implements it. So, you know, I did that kind of thing with games, and so I hope I did a good job of conveying, like, these are good games. I think there ended up being, I don't know, somebody's going to tell us. But I think there ended up being 4 games I had not played, and 3 that I gave strikes to. That I was like, sorry, I just can't do it. I will teach you and walk away. Alchemist, Eldritch Horror. Although, you know what I said with Eldritch Horror was that I would play Eldritch Horror, I think, if it was a different theme. If it was the same thing, go around and hunt things and do that stuff. I think that theme just doesn't appeal to me.
Okay.
Really at all. We'll talk about that more with Dice Tower Awards. Did you vote yet?
No.
All right, I voted today, so.
Uh-oh.
We'll have to, hopefully
you
next
don't have
episode.
Your sticker.
Oh, sorry. Next episode, we'll have to have had you voted by then so we can talk about what we voted for and why. But I think
everything.
If it was like a Star Wars, pick a Star Wars character and run around the Star Wars galaxy trying to complete missions, I think I'd be totally down for it. It'd be nice if it wasn't like 3 to 4 hours like Eldritch Horror it is.
Right.
I think that's the other part that pushes it off. So anyway,
Did you check, did anything shift around, like, when, like, will we hit over, like, talk about any game that you already talked about, because it was shooting up the rankings?
No, the only thing I noticed was Zombicide Black Plague was 100, and now it's 101.
Okay.
There was actually a request from somebody to do 200 through 101.
So now it'll be
so I guess
a little volatile.
I may consider doing that at some point.
Yeah. So
it is neat just to talk about all these games, because maybe people haven't heard them and they don't know what they are. And I, at least the ones I haven't played, I know what they are. So I can kind of shine a light, although, there was very few. I think originally, like when I first looked at the list a while ago, there was two. It's like Combat Commander Europe and like Paths of Glory, both war games.
That you haven't played?
That I hadn't played. And then there was a few more, like Zombicide Black Plague was 100, and there was something else that I hadn't played that was in there, so it was interesting. Oh, I think Istanbul was the other one. So, amazing I can remember all that. Stop, you're going to say all these games I haven't played now, so I might have miscounted. But
no, that's, you never played Istanbul.
I've played both editions of War of the Ring, and I've played both editions of Through the Ages, so I got check marks on all those by playing both editions. How about that?
That does help.
I can't believe those are in there. It's so lame. All right, let's
play Steam.
Oh, I haven't played Steam. Stop.
Okay. I'm just asking.
It's picking on me. All right.
The Princess of Florence.
I have played that.
When?
Way back in the day. So yeah, we're just going to quick announce the Silk City Board Game Group is Saturday, July 15th. And I think I saw they have a representative from Osprey Games coming, yep. So they'll have a bunch of that stuff going on. So definitely check that out. That's going to be post our Dice Tower Con visit and probably a Dice Tower Con episode. We'll travel with all this stuff and maybe we'll just do a bunch of contributors. We'll just get a bunch of people who we run across and I'll interview them and splice those all together. And then we can have you come on and say something at the end. You can say hi to everybody.
Or bye.
Or bye. Bye, both. I'm in the airport. I'll get you in
hi
the airport
and bye.
When you're asleep. All right. So that's it for upcoming events. So let's go to what's on our table. I got another chance to play Blood Rage. We got a bunch of CMON games in, and I snagged one from the store and played Blood Rage with people. And I still really enjoy the game. I like it a lot. It really is a hybrid of, like, Euro and Ameritrash. Although I think the more I play it, the more Ameritrashy it seems. Like, the drafting definitely is there, and the points that you score, that's very Euro. There's definitely, like, it seems to have a runaway leader thing that happens in most of the games I've played. Now, you could just say player imbalance, like the players have to do that, but it seems like the cards are kind of imbalanced in terms of you have to know the cards that are really powerful, so you just take them to keep them from other people. Like, oh, if you have one of those, we can't let you have one of these. And that's just when you're playing with new people or people playing for the second time, it's like you can't sit around going like, okay, I'm going to pass this to you and you better draft that card because otherwise they're going to get it. And like, I just kind of take some of that like player choice out. But it's a neat game. I think it really needs to get down to that 90-minute range to be like really fun, to just keep it moving. Boom, 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 boom. Here we go. We're attacking. I still know that this doesn't bring joy to you, but playing that monster that stands, you know, 3.5 inches tall and putting it out on the board on a giant base with your color under it is super fun, even if it just says, this monster stands in this location and stares at one other player of your choice. I'd be down for it. This is a first player token. I know, I was glad to get to play it again. It's not a top 25 game for me. It may, spoiler, appear in the top 25 that we're about to talk about, unless I already talked about it. I can't remember last episode, so. But that was fun to get to play. What did you play, Brian? You were going to run us down through some games.
I was going to just kind of go over what happened last Silk City Board Game Group. So, basically, we got there, you know, set up all the games right before everyone was kind of walking through the doors. It was a nice day out, so I think there was like a lower turnout than normal, but you know, we opened the doors, had people come down, and Jen started teaching the networks pretty quickly. Along with that, Castles of Calendale. Is that how it's
Calendale?
Calendale.
Yeah. Like that calendar.
One... Oh, okay. Yeah, that one got started up pretty quickly as well. And Ethnos was going on. And I was kind of sitting there with 1754 trying to see if anyone else would sneak through the door. I think that one's just such like that one's a tough game to really get people engaged in or interested in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of like the Birth of America series from Academy Games are pretty straightforward, like, and, you know, neat area control games once you actually get into it. But I think that, like, that cover and, like, the look of it makes it a little more intimidating than it actually is.
They're really easy and approachable once you sit down to play them. But, yeah, they just have that, like, war game front that's like, oh, I don't, that's not of interest to me. But they really are, like, gateway war games.
So that was just kind of sitting there. I was ready to teach it, but no one really seemed interested in it. So, you know, once one of the games kind of dwindled down a little bit, Carl actually showed up and brought out Mangrovia. I don't know, had you played that with him? And I mean, it's neat. It's like an area control sort of game where you're trying to build these huts on an island, basically. And the most straightforward way to actually, you know, to win or get points would be trying to get majorities in rows or columns in a grid where you're building those huts. You know, and basically you're trying to collect cards that will let you build those buildings. You need to match up the value, like the number value in a square that you're trying to build. And you also need to have a card that matches the terrain type. You know, maybe it's like a forest or a desert or water or the plains or something like that. So you need to kind of have an exact value in cards. You can have a couple together, so like a 2 and a 3 you can be played as a 5. But you couldn't play those to build in a 4 space. It needs to be exact. So you just have to discard those and discard the terrain type. You build in there, and then, you know, there are a couple other things that you can do from building. Basically, like, someone will move you up on, like, other tracks or whatnot. But it in essence, it just turns into that, like, area control style game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was fun. It was funny to me, like, Carl was very adamant that he wanted 5 people for it to get that full player count. And it seemed like I'd be a little more interested in this at a lower count, maybe just because the first player seemed to be, like, the first player token was kind of in the same area most of the game. Maybe there just wasn't enough incentive for people to, like, really reach out and grab it until, you know, that person on the other end of the table ended up doing it. So it seemed like that really didn't shift a whole lot over the course of the game, but it was fun. I mean, it looks beautiful. It's like the production value is neat. Like, I like the artwork and all that sort of stuff. It looks appealing, and it wasn't too long. You know, it did not say it's welcome at all. So we went through it and played that. And then, you know, it was kind of on the tail end of the event at that point. But Adam actually brought out Kaiju Incorporated.
Okay.
which, it's a small box game, but it's neat. It's like a almost like a Machikoro-esque thing where you're trying to, like, increase your tableau to have different effects going on, like, either on your turn or on our opponent's turns. You know, so you've got all these buildings in front of you, and they've got a color, and they give you different benefits based on, like, what they say on the card. So, like, they can give you money or some sort of, like, a technology resource sort of thing, or it can increase your kaiju track, which basically forces them to attack you if you keep, like, you know, going around that. But basically you're doing that, you're drafting more cards to build your tableau. One turn will kind of go over the, like, there'll be x plus one cards revealed, where x is the number of players. First player picks a card, puts in front of them, or picks a card, either builds it by paying the cost of the card, or they discard it and get the benefits of that type of, like, if it's a blue card, they get all the benefits from all the blue cards in the tableau that say that happen on your turn, you know? So, you know, it goes around pretty quickly, and, like, you know, everyone gets one of those cards, the last one gets discarded, and it just keeps going like that. The technology is kind of the main timing of the game. You know, once that deck runs out, it'll basically trigger the end game. But it was neat. I think the beginning of the game was a little slow to get going because, like, everyone had the exact same tableau. Gotcha. I kind of wish there was a little bit more variety there. I know there were, we had special characters, but it was basically just giving you points for having cards of a particular type in your tableau. So everyone kind of had that, but it wasn't like a huge, like, each card also had, like, a city associated with it, and it didn't seem like there were a lot of different cities out there, so it didn't seem like me, I was going for Tokyo Cards. It didn't seem like Tokyo Cards were, like, prevalent enough to really be a focus of my, you know, my personal goal. Where it seemed like I was just doing what my tableau kind of guided me toward rather than focusing on the thing that made me unique.
Mm.
So I think that's just where it was a little bit tough. Like, those first few rounds, I think, need to go really quickly. And some of that's just not knowing the game. But once that kind of got... once that got going, then you could kind of see, okay, that person has all this in front of them, so they're really trying to go after this, and then you can kind of do that, like, blocking from people and trying to take cards that they want. So it felt like there was a lot more, you know, interaction once it turned that corner and kind of gave people their own paths. So, but it was fun. I mean, it's a quick game. It's a small box game as well. I don't know who makes it off the top of my head. It's not one that I've really seen come across. Like,
it's not published by Small Box Games, because that's actually a publisher.
Thank you. No, I don't think so. But, no, it was fun. And that was, yeah, that was Kaiju Incorporated.
How long was it? How long should it be? Is it like 30 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to give the wrong...
I mean, it wasn't an hour and a half.
No, I mean, it might have taken a little longer just because we were... going through it.
So if it took an hour, you think it would normally be a half hour?
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be that long. So.
So it's a decently light game.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice. I got a chance to play another CMON game. I have Krios here, but I think it's a U, so I think it's Krios. Krios? I don't know. K-R-E-U-S. So this is a cooperative card game. So the players represent gods trying to build a planet, or create a planet. And you have a deck of cards, and at the start of the game, you deal out all the cards to the players. So you have, you know, X number of cards in your hands. So I think we played a four-player game, we all had 10 cards in our hands. So you have to adjust the deck for the number of players. And then you get energy tokens, and that's it. The game starts, and nobody can talk. So it's a cooperative game and nobody can talk. So what you have to do at the beginning of a round is everybody takes a card from their hand, puts it face down simultaneously, and then starting with the first player, you reveal your card, put it into the tableau if it can be played. If not, it gets set aside in a discard pile, and you go around. Once everybody's played their card, you pass the first player token and repeat. Where it can change is you can spend those energy tokens, 1, 2, or 3. 1 allows you to show a player a card that you have. 2 allows you to exchange cards with a player. You both put a card face down and swap. And 3 tokens allows you to take a card back from the discard pile. So then, basically, there's 3 types of cards in the game. There's nature cards, element cards, and aggression cards. So aggression cards are bad, but if you have any aggression cards at the end of the game, when you quote-unquote won, you lose. So you have to play the bad cards before. So you're trying to mitigate the losses that those give. The nature cards, basically there's a little planned path of, you know, you have to create atmosphere and you have to create a comet. And then once you've established atmosphere and a comet, then you can have a rainbow and water. And then once you have rainbow and water, you can have fish or a mountain or whatever it is. And you have to build certain things in order, like, going down these tiers. So first, I might play, I'm the first player, I'll put the atmosphere card out. Then, Brian, if you're sitting next to me, hopefully you'll put one of the elements. So there's 4 different elements. Earth, water, fire, air.
Sounds good. Yeah. I haven't played.
So you might have to put a blue or a pink card down that represents one of those.
That's more my line.
There you go. So you'll play one of those cards, and let's say you expect me to play Comet and you played an orange. Well, now we can't play your card, so it gets discarded. Mm-hmm. And we go around. So obviously players need to use those tokens wisely. Whenever you play a nature card and it goes into play, you get a token back from the pool. So spending them is kind of what you're supposed to do, and then get them back, or kind of that ebb and flow, is that's all your communication. So that's what you have to do and be like, see, I'm going to play this card to the person to your left, so they'll know what card they want to play on that, and work your way through. So we played twice. One time we think we played a card that kept us from being able to play any more cards. One of the aggressions is like, you can't play anything else till you play a nature card, and we couldn't play a nature card, and... The other aggressions would be, like, any of things that are unfinished. So, like, those nature cards need 2 or 3 elements. So if you only have 2 elements on one and it needs 3, those get discarded from those aggression cards. So you have to play them wisely when nothing, you know, no negatives can happen. And then the game has lots of other stuff in the box. It has all those element cards. Oh, it has some wild elements that can count as anything, and the nature cards can be wild elements. And then in the box it has player powers, so you can pick player powers, and there's a ton of them. There's male and female gods with different powers and negatives. And then all the cards have, like, a special ability. So when I play this card, it has to immediately be followed by another element card, or that card is discarded. Like, or when I play this card, we pass the first player token immediately, and so now we adjust, like, how the order that we're playing. And so it seems like there's decent replayability. We didn't manage in our two plays to successfully build a planet, so there was that. It was neat. It was neat that it had that, like, no-talking element and all those other things. I'm excited for, similarly on this path, is that Magic Maze game that got nominated for Spiel des Jahres. I really want to try that, and I think I could, I don't want to say until I played it, but I feel like that might be a game that would be a little bit more exciting in this, like, no-talk manner, but it was fun, it was interesting, it seems great, it plays 3-6, so it seems great as, like, a filler.
Would you play it over, 10 minutes. Would you play it over, like, the Grizzled or Hanabi, or?
Well, I would play Beyond Baker Street instead of Hanabi.
Well, okay, then Beyond Baker Street or the Grizzled.
Yeah, I could see playing instead of Beyond Baker Street. Beyond Baker Street's very, like, detailed, like, taking notes, like, you know. No, it's not better than the Grizzled from my one play. They're both CMON,
though,
right? Plays. Two plays, and, yeah, maybe three or four plays of the Grizzled. I don't know how many times I've lost the Grizzled. I won my very first play.
Of the Grizzled,
1:30 in the morning. And then I said I would never play again, and now I've played and just lost. So, should have kept my record up. So, anyway, that was Trios from CMON. Anything else?
Nope.
All right, we're moving on. Let us know what's on your table. Okay, surprise, surprise. Our discussion topic for today is the BGG 25-1. Brian, you ready for lightning?
Sure.
All right, so I'm going to go through the 100-26 with you. All you're going to say is, yes, I played it, or no, I haven't played it, and, you know, I hate it, I like it, I love it. Ready?
Yeah.
Go. Village is 100.
I liked it.
Jaipur.
Okay. Yeah.
Hansa Teutonica.
Loved it.
Splendor.
It's kind of wearing on me, but it's good.
Princes of Florence.
Haven't played it.
Age of Steam.
I want to play it again.
La Granja.
I love it.
Lord of the Rings, the card game.
Yeah, that one's great.
Stop. Top game. All right. Viticulture.
The Essentialist Edition is higher, right? That was strange. I love that game, though.
So weird when these are on there. Goa.
I liked it.
Steam.
Haven't played.
Istanbul.
Need to play again.
Cosmic Encounter.
Probably need to play again.
Oh, really? I thought you were going to say pass. Combat Commander Europe.
Haven't played it.
Clank.
Love it.
Chaos in the Old World.
I played it.
Ticket to Ride Europe.
Yeah, I played it.
Have you played Europe?
I'm
phone. Not challenging
on
you.
On the phone.
I've just never, I've never played Europe. I've played, think, like, all the other versions, but
yeah, I mean, Ticket to Ride's great. I love Ticket to Ride.
I know. I'm sure it's fine. Even though I played, you know, six versions of Ticket to Ride, but not that one. Paths of Glory.
Haven't played.
Forbidden Stars.
I really liked it. Me, I don't too. Know. I don't have, it says I have two plays. I don't think I have two plays with it.
Cool. Railways of the World.
Haven't played.
Commands and Color Ancients.
Haven't played.
Star Realms.
I love the app. I play that so much more than the card game.
Suburbia. You get one word, Brian.
Haven't.
You haven't played Suburbia?
No.
Oh, that's a must play. It's really good. Nations.
Haven't.
Aurat Labora.
Haven't played.
Gallerist.
Like it.
Legendary Encounters. Alien deck builder.
You get one word, right? Yeah, I like it.
Alchemist.
I don't know how to. What did
I essentially
you say
flipped
this
the table. So.
Yeah,
Stone
was,
Age.
I right. Love it.
Game of Thrones.
Haven't played.
Kemet.
I've played it.
Arcadia Quest.
Not my style.
Resistance Avalon.
Not my style. We're hitting a chunk here.
That's War of the Ring First Edition.
I haven't played the First Edition.
Castles of Mad King Ludwig.
I really liked it. I need to play it again, though.
No, Suburbia's better. Lies.
I haven't played Suburbia, so I really like Castle of Magic.
You can't like it, because I'm telling you, Suburbia's better.
Do you like it?
Yes. No. I don't like the auction. It's too slow. Crokinole.
I love it.
Descent.
There's a lot of stuff. I've played the first edition.
There's a lot of stuff. Twa.
I love it.
Pandemic.
I like it.
Santorini.
Haven't played.
Tigris and Euphrates.
That's a sore subject.
Okay, Trajan.
I love it.
Russian Railroads.
I need to play again.
Mombasa.
Love it.
Yeah, it's good. Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective.
Haven't played.
Dominion.
Like it.
Fields of Arl.
Haven't played.
Battlestar Galactica.
Nostalgia's working well for this.
Star Wars X-Wing Miniatures.
I really like it.
Dominion Intrigue. Stupid. El Grande.
I started with Dominion Intrigue. That was the first, one of the first games I played.
Nice.
So that one's up there. El Grande, love it.
Oh, Roll for the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's amazing.
A given. Five Tribes.
I love it.
Lords of Waterdeep.
Love it, though I haven't played in a while.
Race for the Galaxy.
Love it.
Is it better than Roll? By three places.
By 19 plays, apparently.
Dominant Species.
Love it, I think.
Patchwork.
It was alright.
Dead of Winter.
I like it.
Twilight Imperium.
Haven't played.
Eldritch Horror.
Haven't played.
Feast for Odin.
Haven't played.
Kalis.
I'm not sure how
just,
I feel.
Just say top 10. Voyages of Marco Polo.
I need to play it again.
Seven Wonders.
Love it.
Keyflower.
Love it.
Concordia.
Love it.
Viticulture Essential Edition.
We just talked about that.
With Tuscany.
Love it.
Time Stories.
I really like it.
Codenames.
I love it.
Zolk'in Mayan Calendar.
I want to play that again.
Lahav.
Need to play that again.
Brass.
Need to play that again.
Orleans.
I liked it.
Android Netrunner.
It's okay.
Food Chain Magnate.
I'm glad. I really like it.
Yeah, I like it. I feel like the only, like we just played this the other night.
Yeah.
The only negative is just, it just has a runaway leader. Like, that's the way the game functions.
Yeah.
It'd be very hard for two to compete, but I was just telling Kathy, I was like, we should play it, like, on two separate boards. Like, you build your board, and I'll build mine, so she just, we don't have that, like, and I don't know, she might beat me, I might be the one who's annoyed, too, I'm not taking that away. Right. But, like, because that whole mechanism of building your people and it's super fun, and then you go, oh, I got nothing this turn, and it right. just feels so empty, like, I didn't plan as well as you did.
I'm just glad, like, I'm glad we got it back to the table. It would have been a need to play it again if I hadn't. Yeah. So I do want to play it again soon, though.
It seems like the easiest of those games to get back to the table, though. Like
for Splatter?
Yeah.
For
like,
sure.
Like, it feels like, okay, I can though, just play this again in a month and then play it again in a month. Like,
so Tony was mentioning The Great Zimbabwe. Yeah. Had you tried that one?
No.
So, I mean, that one would be worth checking out, too.
So, but yeah, so I could see, like, it coming out enough that I learn it, so there isn't that just, like, somebody, you know, you can actually see what other people are doing.
Right. No, it makes sense that that's the, like, highest splatter.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
On the list, because it's easier for everyone to get to it.
Cool, here we go. Ready? We don't have to go fast now.
Yeah.
This first one is going to drive me crazy, because I can't believe you haven't played this game yet.
And I have.
I think for the last month, on every episode, I've been complaining.
I might have played it by then. I didn't play it.
I was so excited. All right, number 25, and I don't think these have changed order since I was on here, because Food Chain was the last one I talked about, so we should be in good shape. Robinson Crusoe, Adventures on the Cursed Island. You haven't played it yet?
I haven't played it.
Oh, it's so good. Anyway, I think we beat this dead horse the last month, so we just have to play it. That's all it comes down to. Arkham Horror Card Game.
Yeah, I just played it the once, but it was really fun. I mean, I'd probably rather, I'd lean toward Lord of the Rings, but it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah.
I don't know, with the campaign seems intriguing just to kind of progress and level up in a sense.
Yeah, I've played it a couple times on my own, and it is neat, like, but, and I can't really build decks because I just have the base set, so that would be a whole different thing. But, yeah, it's neat to do that, like, yeah, it's a good game. It's just, yeah, it's the same. It's just not Lord of the Rings, even though it is a newer, streamlined implementation. I'm okay with it being a little clunkier on the other end. Hey! All right, we may get taken away soon, so here we go. Eclipse.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Like, I'm looking through. I guess this was before I logged plays that I really got this one to the table. I want to play this
did
again.
Did you play in the 11-hour game?
I think you the two-parter.
Yeah.
I'm probably a major contributing factor. Though, I don't know. It's a tough one to, like, really get going at a smooth pace. You know, unless people have played it a lot, I feel like.
I really liked it two-player. It totally just one person ran over the other person, but at a good time in the game. Yeah. Like, it was like, oh, we're getting our engines going, this is fun, I'm exploring here. Oh, okay, you know, we're an hour in, now we just go at each other, and one person is just way stronger, and the game's over. But it was kind of fun to just build an engine, like, do that Euro piece, and then, oh, the end is, I just take you out, and that's it.
The tough thing, like, that's a lot of setup. Like, I think that's, like, a big
negative. And this is before they had, like, inserts. There's probably an Eclipse insert we don't realize, but... Like,
oh, I'm sure. Yeah, and they even started doing, like, that's the first time I noticed those, like, overlays.
Like, oh, yeah, you're right. People had those overlays for that. Yeah, that and Through the Ages had overlays early
on. Was what was needing it before the, like, terraforming Mars and such.
Yep. All right, Mechs vs. Minions is number 22.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it was a little bit too much for me. Like, the production value, I think. It was too nice.
Yeah, it's an interesting game. I really like it. I really like some of the things it does, and at the same time, it's overly simplistic in some of the things we did. The one I played with you, unfortunately, was one I hadn't played, and it was literally like, walk straight forward.
There's a lot more to it
than just
that.
There's a lot more. There's ones where you got to go in separate directions, and there's a boss that comes out that you have to avoid. Like, there's a lot more... running. But I have to say, of all the, like, programming games I've played, it's definitely my favorite programming game.
How many games have
you
played?
Like, Robo Rally and Lords of Zidit.
You played Lords of Zidit?
Yeah.
By yourself?
No. At the store.
Oh.
And what else is a programming game? There's some I can't think of. Well, you know what might be better? Is Colt Express.
Yeah, but that's like...
That's just an activity.
Yeah, I don't even think of that as a game.
I mean, it is. It obviously is.
Right.
But, like,
but it's fun. It's just not like...
Mechs vs. Minions at least has some thought and goal. And
you like, if you take Colt Express seriously, then you're playing it wrong.
Right. Wait, it's not a heavy era?
And I like
it. So there's Mechs vs. Minions. So I can see that one sliding down this list. But it definitely had that punch when it came out. So, and it, the production is off the charts. I don't know what Brian's talking about. Power Grid.
Yeah, I think my expectations were high on this one. And maybe it's just the one playthrough that was a dud. Mm-hmm. I'd probably play it again. I just don't know if I'm itching to get it to the table.
Yeah, it seems long and like a lot of cold calculating, and I have no problem with cold calculating. In fact, I may have an advantage in cold calculating over people. But then those auctions are just so vital.
Right.
So it's almost like you have to tell people if they're playing for the first... Yeah, bid on that. No, don't. Like, and then you almost have to be a neutral player, so...
And, like, and after we had played, I'd even mentioned it to, you know, people at the meetup just about it not being my favorite. I think... There were a couple things that they said to change up, to do it, like, with a different map or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, but again, it's like, how many games can we actually get to the table consistently? Yeah. So, that's just tough for that one.
Mansions of Madness 2nd Edition.
I mean, I liked it. I don't think I need to own it, but...
Yeah, it's fun, and it seemed like a fun thing to play at, like, a store or an event or an all-nighter or something like that. But
I thought you didn't like it.
No, I do like it. I don't know if I want to play a 6-hour game of it. I don't like once all those monsters start spawning and they all have their own rules and you've got to move them all around and all that chaos. And Gloomhaven totally has that, but it just feels so much more streamlined. Or like you're planning your moves based on the monster's moves.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in this, it's just like, oh, well, the monsters stop us from doing our plan or slow us down. There's that like fear roll you have to take every turn. That got really old. When there's like 8 monsters on the board and they all could cause you like panic or fear or whatever, it was like, oh my gosh, I gotta stop rolling these dice.
I know when we had played like this long session, like even just the prompts on the app were like we went through it too quickly and all of a sudden it was like the game was done. Like we didn't have a chance to like finalize it. It's like this whole, like, this whole game was kind of...
It's definitely a great reprint. Like, it's a great job that they did and a great thing with the app, so it's cool there.
It's the great thing, too, like, it's getting people to play it. Like, I feel like this is one of the more consistent ones that people are seeking out and, you know, and purchasing and playing games with, so that's great to see.
Great Western Trail.
I love it. That one's got a few... I want to play that again soon.
Nice. Yeah, it's a good game. I think I like Mombasa better, but they really are so different.
But Mombasa is a worse game.
They're only... But on this list,
yeah.
They're only comparison because of their designer, right?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean...
Like, they're so different. One is a conglomeration of so many mechanisms. The other is a giant rondelle with some hand management.
Right. So, I mean, I think it was... It took a little while, but I think it's kind of... Like, it wasn't my favorite after that first play that we did, two-player, but then it seems like, you know, once you get a few of those teaching games in and you can change it up and, just give different tiles that you're starting with or put the buildings out in different orders, like, I think that's just a huge factor in making it, like, replayable and just enjoyable again.
Yeah, well, the other difference, I guess, is I beat you in Mombasa. I don't think I've ever beat you in Great Western Trail. Unless I won.
I mean, we only
played
once, right?
Oh, we played several times.
And I beat you in both of them, right?
I think we played more than twice.
Have we?
Yeah. No. You get a lot of cows. Star Wars Imperial Assault.
There's also a lot of stuff.
This... I love Star Wars Imperial Assault. It's like I could never find anybody to play, but it's just how do you play a campaign? I mean, that's what's made Gloomhaven, which I talked about. So it's, that's what I, because my wife loves it and plays it with me multiple nights a week. She won't do that with Star Wars Imperial Assault. So my daughter's playing a little bit with me, and that's been fun. But without a dedicated group, I don't know what you do with this game unless you really get the skirmish going. But when you want to do the skirmish, then it's essentially become X-Wing or a CCG, like Magic. Right. Everybody has to make their own things, and you have to fight them out and then complain, this board isn't favored towards me, that board isn't favored towards you, oh, I haven't bought that set to get that card yet. Like, and it becomes that lifestyle thing.
If we were to play one right now, I'd probably rather play Descent out of the two, so.
There you go. Through the Ages, I'm calling Shenanigans because it's higher. Blood Rage.
Can I call it Shenanigans? No, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I need to play that again, but...
It's neat to see, though, like, as I'm looking through, it's neat to see, like, kind of some of the famous Ameritrash and Euro games kind of all be up here.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like there is at least a good, you know, mix of both. It's not... I guess everybody calls this one the hybrid, but, like...
I could see why people
nice
like it.
It's nice to see both are on here, and it's not just one way or the other, you know? I'm not favoring one. It's just... It's neat to see that. Mage Knight, we played once.
Yeah, it's
like
been a while.
Like an intro game. It's amazing. It's my favorite solo game. It's just super big and heavy. When I was on Every Night is Game Night, whatever that podcast... Or Jason's podcast, I... See, now nobody's going to go listen to it. But I was on his and I talked about Mage Knight, just saying how everything I love about this game is because it's solo. Like, thinking out my turns forever and having the game take 6 hours is fine because it's solo. I'm not waiting on other people. So that works well for me. Agricola.
I love it.
No, you don't have to say more. You can say more than one word.
Darn it. I haven't transitioned yet.
Is it Uwe's best game? I don't even know if it's best rated on here.
I mean, how do you... It's been the long, like one of the longest consistent ones, right?
Yeah, it's definitely like the biggest game changer. It's probably like the first like heavy Euro that people really latched on to. I mean, that I can think of, right? Like people were really like, oh, here's this Euro and you dig in and all this. And now it's pretty much medium weight. But at the time, that was just heavy. That was like all these cards and all these spaces and these turns and these limited space. Like just really well built. I still think it is... a better game than Caverna, but I feel like I'd rather play Caverna if I have a large group and people haven't played. Because
it goes to the higher
card,
player.
Well, you know, my joke is always with Agricola, let's deal the cards out today and play tomorrow at 7 p.m. Because analyzing those cards just takes, it's just a bear. So you're just sitting there for the first two rounds, like, everybody's trying to figure out how they're going to get their engine going, and you're just, I mean, you know. just sitting there.
And it's so slow
at first.
Like, it can definitely be exhausting trying to figure out, because you're all trying to get to that same point. You know, like,
misery.
Well, like, it's just, you know, you need to spread out so much in Agricola and kind of do everything. You just have a different way of getting there. You know, so I think it's just trying to puzzle that out is, it can get a little draining. So I don't know if, like, playing it, I don't think I'd be playing it, like, every week or something like that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But it's really fun.
It's still a top-notch game.
Yeah.
War of the Rings, second edition.
Yeah, I mean, I'd play it again. It was, like, we played a four-player game, which was kind of tough.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It wasn't, like, it wasn't miserable when we were playing. So, this is up there for you, though, right?
This is a great game. It's really good. And I played this a bunch with my wife, but now this is just one of those games that's not going to fly. Like, she's just not going to play that game for that long. She'll play other games for that long, but not that. And
like you're the other
person
the
I play two. Yeah, you're the other person I play two-player with, but much shorter time frames.
Yeah.
45 minutes, you know. So, yeah, but this would be a great one if it was like, you know, surprise date day or whatever, like we just have the whole day to play games. And my wife's like, what do you want to play? I would, you know, bring this out. I won't bring Rebellion out because she hates it. But there's that. Cool. Puerto Rico. Have you played it?
Yeah, I played it once. I mean, it definitely, it feels like a classic.
Yeah, it's like one of those games where it's like, you know, it was so good in its day, but things just do it better. I mean, Glory to Rome just
right.
does that, like, action selection thing. So it's interesting to see these games. There were some of these that were down the list that I was talking about.
I know for me it was tough to, like, trying to get three players was tough for a while. And then when I did get it to the table, like, it was fun. It just didn't seem like, I don't know, maybe it was just, again, with those expectations, everyone was, like, talking about how great it was. And, you know, and just seeing it as, like, an established game from however long ago. It was okay, but I don't know if I'd be playing again or seeking it out anytime soon.
Castles of Burgundy is number 11.
I need to play it again, but it's one that I'm looking back at and thinking that I liked it, but I don't really remember much of the the gameplay for it.
It's super great, and it plays so good two-player. I mean, the only negative to two-player is all the tiles don't come out, so you can't guarantee any specific strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost nice on that front, because you just, boom, in two-player, you just keep going, going, going. Whereas in four-player, your tile may come out, somebody may take it, you may get hosed on it, or you just can't get it in that round or whatever. So it's not really, like, guaranteeing that your strategy is going to work anyway, you know, with more people. But, yeah, I that one's great. All right, here we go. Top 10 on BGG as of June 14th. 2017. So, Caverna Cave Farmers.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Agricola.
Nice. This one's open, so I would never play this with seven. That's one of the things people say, like, well, if I have seven, I can play this, and I think Agricola is now, like, four with a five-player expansion or something. But it is easier in terms of getting people going, because
yeah,
they don't have a goal, but, like, they don't have those cards to, like, figure out. Like, yeah, I can see liking that whole, like, okay, I'm stuck into this. Whereas this one's just, hey, do whatever. This is a good spot. Go here. Try that. Like, it kind of gives them that. It's almost like playing an app, video game app, for the first time. Like, the first time you play it, it's kind of suboptimal, but you're just learning how to play, and then you can jump
right.
in again. So.
And, I mean, I've only played it once, but it seems a little more, like, open to race to this building that you want to build. You know, like,
yeah.
It feels like, with everything being available, you can just kind of focus on doing something that you've picked way beyond, like, way before you actually play. And I think that just bugs me that could be, like, you know, you could think it through before you're, you know, involved in the game.
Oh, yeah.
And then trying to, like, then it becomes who had the best, like,
plan.
The best plan ahead of time.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, does not always hold true to the game, because you still have to play it. It's not like you could just say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to win because of that. But, you know, it's just kind of a matter of figuring out the balance of all the buildings and seeing, like, what you can do.
Yeah, for my money, Le Havre is still the best Uwe game. That's my favorite one.
So you asked the question earlier, and now you're answering it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I don't think is up here. It was somewhere back, right?
Did we talk
about it? 30s or something? We didn't talk about it, so I think it was in the 30s. But that's the best one. Seven Wonders Duel is number 9.
Yeah, I need to play it again with my wife. She's looking at me right now because I have. She's been asking about it, but I haven't brought it out.
And the expansion.
And that we need to vote for, right?
I abstained.
You abstained. Yeah, I haven't played with the expansion, so.
Yeah, I had to abstain on that one. Yeah, Seven Wonders Duel is really good. I don't know if it's a top 10 game. Like, where this is sneaking in, is it the best two-player game? I really like Patchwork. I really like Lost Cities. I will do an Ashes or a Star Wars LCG two-player. You know, those kind of things, specifically,
I wonder if it had been reversed, you know, if this had come out first and then Seven Wonders came out after. Yeah, I wonder what the rankings would look like with that. Or, you know, even if it was like, I guess we'll get to it later, like if other stuff came out first, you know, it's just probably that new hotness too.
But either way, what I like about Seven Wonders Duel being here is if somebody looked on this list and said, what's the shortest top 10 game? Seven Wonders Duel, and they picked that up, they would most likely love the board gaming hobby based on that one game. That's a great game for somebody to just snag. You know what I mean? Now, most of these are games we don't hope people just snag off the shelf playing for the first time, but that one would represent the best top 10. Like, take this home and play this for 25 minutes, you know? Mm-hmm. This is an amazing representation. Terraforming Mars, number 8.
Yeah, it's an amazing game.
It's so good. It plays well at every count, and I totally, this week on Dice Tower, Tom put it on his best three-player game, saying how he would not play it with 4 and 5. I don't understand that at all. Like, I guess you gotta wait for people to read cards, so I get all that, like, if you're talking about, but, like, it plays at the same speed, like, with 5 people, more things happen, so the game goes quicker, that's the whole point, like, so I don't understand why it would be better with 3 players. He just doesn't like games with that many people, unless they get to the, like, you know, social aspects of the game. But, like, this game goes faster with 5 people. I totally understand drafting and waiting for everybody to read the cards. And so, most likely, if you're going to play this 5-player, you're teaching somebody the game. Or somebody's like, oh, I played it 6 months ago. How do we do this again? So, that would definitely slow the game. But 5 people who know the game is going to be just as good, if not better, than 3 people who know the game.
Yeah. It moves quickly, like, once you get it down. But it is tough. It's like, this one's tough to really get that flow down. Yeah. Like, and to know, like, a turn and feel comfortable making your moves or, you know, picking things based on, like, making decisions, you need to have enough saturation in a sense. Like, you have to play it enough.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, like, just doing all the drafting and all the, like, everything, I think it's so key. All the player powers, like, I think that's so key to making it an even better experience. And if I'm teaching, I'll walk everybody through all that. But I was just talking about my wife with this. Like, the list of games that I would recommend to people, given that I'm teaching, versus given that I'm just recommending to them, they live on the other side of the country. Like, you live in California, pick up, what game should I pick up? Okay, that's going to be a different list from, hey, I'm coming to the meetup at the portal, what game should you teach me playing for the first time? Totally different list. Like, Clank, I would teach to anybody, but I don't know that I would send somebody off to buy Clank and figure it out on their own, you know what I mean? Hmm. Like, it's not bad, but there's enough deck building and other elements that could probably be put into an easier game, you know, in terms of that. So, but Terraforming Mars, I'm like, look, I'll walk you through all this. Here we go. We're going to play together, so.
Though it's funny you mentioned that with the next game. I don't know. Were you ready to?
Yeah, go for it.
But Scythe is the next one, mm-hmm. which, you know, I've heard so many people talking about this, like, outside of the realm of, like, you know, normal, like people that I expect to be talking about it, you know. Yeah. So it's just amazing to see how many people out there kind of recognize this as, like, a almost like a new classic in a sense.
Hmm.
You know, I think the most memorable time that I was talking, like, my cousin was back in the state for Christmas or whatnot, and he was just talking about how he was, like, looking to buy a game, and I hadn't really talked to him about games before, so I didn't know he was, you know, playing a lot or whatnot, and this is one of the ones that he mentioned as, like, one of his first buys, like, that he was looking to buy Scythe or something a little bit more... Like, something that I would have thought of more as, like, a classic. I don't remember exactly what it was, but, you know, like, a Ticket to Ride or Catan, like, something like that, where it's, like, those have been around for a while. but Scythe was one of the ones that popped up that he had talked about, so I was just surprised by that.
Yeah, Scythe has the whole package going for it. Like, it's got the look,
mm-hmm.
it's got the feel, it's got asymmetrical powers, it's got Euro, it's got fighting, like,
right.
it's got a theme people can get behind. Like, ooh, alternate history, right? That's cool. Like, it kind of feels sci-fi, but it kind of feels, like, historical. And the components are just great, you know, in the game. So I feel like it has that full package. But, like, strictly game-wise to me, it's just not better than some of these games we mentioned. But I can see that whole package really appealing to people. Yeah. So when people get to that, like, you know, gamer, hobbyist level, it's a game that makes sense for people mm-hmm. to pick up, you know, and go towards. And even just to display. Like, just, you know, as you're starting to introduce people to games, like, check this one out, you know? Right. Like, just putting that out is just... That's just such great appeal, so... And it looks like something different. Number six is Star Wars Rebellion. And I love this game. And the times I've mentioned that I have nobody to play it with, like, tons of people respond, like, I'll play, let's play.
Right.
So, it's just a tough game. I'm not going to play a four-hour game at the store on a Thursday night, like, with a bunch of other people. That's a tough play for me, but...
Yeah.
I
kind of the same boat for me with game. War of the Ring, though. Like, I played it once, four-player.
Yeah.
I'd definitely play it again.
This is not a four-player game. Like, but I feel War of the Ring
can be.
You can at least talk out what you're going to do, and it's not a big deal, but you specifically can't talk about what... Like, there are secret things going on in Rebellion, and there's, like, minor secret things, like, let's try to get the Nazgul to where Frodo is with the ring. Secrets revealed! Like... Duh! Like, that's what you're gonna do. So, we're gonna play this card, but we're not gonna tell you that it reveals the Fellowship. Like, that's so obvious, you know? But in Rebellion, you're literally, like, trying to make moves that are bluffing the opponent. Like, you're, you know, you're purposely trying to do that. So, that just became a lot trickier. So, again, I'd rather play War of the Ring with two, but it was much better game with four than Rebellion was with four. So, cool. Oh, this game. Have you heard of Terra Mystica? Is that a new one?
Do you like it?
It's amazing. It's my favorite game of all time.
No, this one definitely helps with repeat plays, though. Like, I don't think it would have been... Good. Like, it's really established itself in whatever... Like, as a solid game for me, based on repeat plays getting that down. So,
yeah, I have no interest in mastering a class or whatever race.
Oh, it's no, just, like, for sure.
Just switch it up and figure out what to do and... Hope the other people's powers kind of mess with mine, so I have to figure out, you know, it's right. like a puzzle.
I don't want to master anything to, like...
Yeah, right, so that every time you are right. thinking about it, yeah. Gloomhaven. Everybody knows I love it.
Yeah, I played it once. It was fun. I can see what people are talking about, but, again, I don't have the campaign to speak to, so...
Yeah, the campaign just makes it so good, opening those new things. I mean, you technically could open them all and go, but, like, it just doesn't have that appeal of, like, you're working towards anything, you know, for that. Twilight Struggle.
Yeah, we played this one. Yeah. That was my only time I played it, but I want to try it again.
We were, like, waiting for Rachel to come home or something at, like, 5 in the morning. You had to go get her, and it was, like, at 4 o'clock, I was like, Brian, I've got you. I'm just going to play this card. And you're like, but if I played this one, then you would lose? And I was like, I hate you, Brian.
I think it was more you wouldn't win now, and then I'll win next turn.
Yeah. So, anyway. But, yeah. So, I think when I talk about two-player games, I mean, this is probably my favorite two-player game still, even over Rebellion. Mm. It just doesn't come out, and right. I need the second edition. I have the first edition, and there's too many holes in the first edition that have now been solved and fixed in the second edition, and I need to get my hands on a deluxe, a second something... And right. get this back. My wife will play this. She just doesn't know she'll play it. She would play this over War of the Ring. She would definitely over Rebellion. But, like, she would like this better. And she does. It's just something she would look at and be like, I don't know. Do I remember this? What do I have to do? Like, all this kind of thing. But this game is amazing.
And I think this is the one that, like, I always look to where if you tell me there's a or, like, a strategy that's difficult to, like, to use. Like, I feel like that was what happened when we played. Like you said, it's tough to, like, control Europe or something like that, or win with Europe.
Oh, it's definitely... I mean, it's purposely tough, though.
But you said it that way, and it's like, you know, it kind of worked its way toward that in that game for me. So I think that's just kind of where I hold my hat to, like, try to do anything that you say I shouldn't try to do.
Right.
Which, this is probably the one major time that it worked, and maybe, I don't think...
No, I think it's a viable way to win. I just don't know that you can, like, guarantee it through strategy. Like, it has to come up. It's always a threat for the U.S. player that, you know, I guess it could be for the USSR player, too. But, like, it's a thing that definitely threatens itself, but then to, like, push it, you really have to let go of other things and hope that that really falls for you.
Kind of all your eggs in that.
Yeah, which is great because it just really creates some interest in the game because you're really starting to separate the two powers, you know, in terms of what they're doing. So, really good. Through the Ages, New Story of Civilization. This is my second favorite game of all time, and it's number two, so it's in the right slot.
Yeah, no, it's... Again, I think we played it with... the player count was too high the first time I played it, but it was still fun. It was neat to see that build up. So it's definitely worth being here.
Yeah. I mean, when you compare it to, like, Terraforming Mars, it's a better engine build in some sense, and it rotates. It's like a rotating engine build. Like, you clear out things and start over, but it's a longer game, a longer engine build, and a longer grind to just points.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, Terraforming Mars is just points, but there's also, like, physical things you're putting on the table, so... But, yeah.
And they're going to be coming out with an expansion for this, too, right?
I know, that's crazy. That's going to be so good. Nice. And number one, Pandemic Legacy Season 1, which I have played not twice, but twice.
So I haven't played either of them.
But, you know, it was so good, I bought two of them and played twice.
Yeah, we're working toward our campaign still, but I don't know if that'll ever get finished.
Yeah, it's fine with me, this being the number one game on here. Like, I don't really care what this list is, because it's all about my list, but... you know, if people like Pandemic, there's just no doubt in my mind they should play it, and it's a great experience, and I think for couples, like, this just seems like a great, because you can play this game in 45 minutes to an hour. That's an easy school night kind of thing. Pack it up, play again. You could knock this thing out in 2-3 months, you know, as a couple, and I think that's just great. And some couples even play two-handed, so they get the four-player experience.
I can't shift my, like, my thinking mid-play. I can't, like... come up with character names and, like, do all that, like,
You get stuck in the mechanisms and then worry about the other pieces.
Yeah. So I think that kind of detracts a little bit from the, like, from what it's trying to do, for me at least.
Yeah.
But it's still totally worth it. You know, again, this would be one where I wonder if Pandemic came out at, you know, like, there are two things that build off of this system, right? There's Pandemic that came out before this, which is in the top 100, right? And then Risk Legacy was another one that had been in the top 100 at one point. So it's kind of those two that just, like, it makes sense that this has really been propelled to the top spot.
Yeah. Cool. Well, there's those. I have to say, you know, if I go with, off the top of my head, I don't have a written, here's my top 10 games, but I mean, Through the Ages, Twilight Struggle, Gloomhaven, Terra Mystica, Star Wars Rebellion, Terraforming Mars are all, to me, top 10 games. And so I pretty much align with this. I wouldn't call Caverna, Seven Wonders Duel, Scythe, or Pandemic Legacy in my top 10 games, but I mean, I got, what, 5 or 6 there that I would put there. And scroll through.
Castle of Burgundy, did you say that?
I don't think it'd be a top 10, but it's probably top 25. Although somebody will tell you that last episode I said about 52 games for the top 25. Really good. You know, Lord of the Rings card game isn't in here, but it was in the top 100. But that would be in there for me. Twilight Imperium, War of the Ring are right on that cusp. I'm not sure. They may get pushed out. My nostalgic ones are always Axis and Allies and Titan, but I don't ever really play them now, so it's hard to put them anywhere, but those are good. And then Codenames is that one that just always gets played all the time at every event, all the time, and I really enjoy it every single time.
How do you put it in the top 10, though?
But where do I put it? Like, it's just a really fun activity.
Would Brass or Lahav be top 10?
Yeah, Brass and Kalis would
Brass
be up there for
Did
me.
You say that already?
But now we may have too many, but those would be ones up there. Lahav is really good. It is. So, those are those. Any other comments here on our top 25 games, Brian?
No, that was a good a good group of games to talk about.
Yeah, I totally stole this. I saw Rotto did it on the podcast a little while ago, and then John Gets Games did it on his vlog, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to steal that. And it really is fun to just talk through these games, and I think for people to hear about them is exciting if they haven't heard of them or whatever. You know, they get to hear you say, liked it, loved it, haven't played it, it's a game. That's a lot of pieces. Whatever. So, that was fun.
So next we'll do 101 through 91,250.
Yes, look for that in our extended episode coming out in 2018 when we run through the rest of BGG. Awesome. Well, that's our rundown of BGG 25 through 1. Let us know some of your favorites, what's in there, what's missing, what did we not give a due chance to, and whatnot. You can email us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Alrighty, there we go. Episode 53, Unlearn What You Have Learned, because we're learning about the top 25 games and what do we think and all those kind of things and whatnot. So, awesome. Another good episode, Brian. We are, closing in on a bunch of things.
Yeah.
And stuff's happening. And 40K. This huge 40K thing at the store, right?
Yeah, people are going crazy about that.
Those models are beautiful. Those ones you have displayed up front. Kevin, yeah. I could not, and then the ones in the case there, which I think are older editions, but like all painted up, they're like amazing. Kathy's like, I could totally see me getting into like painting these things. She was loving. I know. Yeah, I wanted to get the pre-painted, you know, Imperial what is it? Imperial Star Destroyer for Armada.
Yeah.
Like, look, you don't even have to paint it; you could just look at it.
But she wanted to paint.
You could repaint it.
Oh. Okay.
I just want that
ship. A different color scheme.
It's the only reason I've ever wanted that game. So I can have that ship.
Have you played that yet?
No. All right. Nobody needs to hear about this. So, thanks for listening, everybody. This is episode 53. And until next time, I'm the Brant.
And I'm Brian.
And we hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street, Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on June 14, 2017. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. Thanks for listening.